Hi there, welcome to the Iron Podcast. This isn't actually this episode, this is a little add-on because I've only gone and forgotten to do the sponsor readout, which is kind of bizarre because it's my own brand. So I'm doing it now quickly and then I'll let you get back to the episode. But it's number one living drinks. We do fermented drinks, kombuchas, kefirs, shots, all kinds of awesome stuff that you can check out. Tastes great and it's all designed with the greatest attention for health and well-being, gut health, gut mind, gut brain axis, all of that, and just so much good effort gone into these amazing creations. So if you want to try them out, head to numberoneliving.com. that's n-o then the number one l-i-v-i-n-g.com, and type in I am, that's capital I capital A capital M 20, number 20, for 20% off anything you can find on there. But I really hope you enjoy it. And if you're interested in potential, that might be a good way to start with the body, but totally up to you. Anyway, listen, I'm out. So back to this episode with me and my brother, which hopefully will be slightly an upgrade on this one. All right, see ya. Bye. Welcome back to the Iron Podcast. Thanks for tuning in for what is surely to be one of the biggest, if not the biggest moment of your week, because it's me and Sparks talking about potential.
Man, that is a massive claim to open up a conversation between you and I.
Well, listen, I don't do it lightly. I have every confidence I can back this up, because today we're getting a little bit into something. You're in the fitness world, you're in that conditioning, training, helping people to achieve their goals world. I'm in sort of really excited about the mental, the emotional stuff, the skill work, the learning, understanding, all this kind of area. So I thought we'd have a little trip down that route and see how far we can take fitness as a concept, and if we can redefine it to be something a little bit more, I don't know, even more inspiring than what it is at the moment, because I feel like at times it might not be given all its due credit, because I think it's also part of potential. I think it's also part of an unlimited potential. But you'll be used to working with people in specific sports and people getting fit to play even at elite levels. What does that look like to you? How do you define fitness there?
I think if you start to look at it in terms of like preparing the human body to perform a certain task, you go through the same process. You do a bit of a needs analysis. So if someone comes to me and they say, right, I'm playing basketball, I want to improve what I can do, what do I do? Then the first thing you have to look at is, well, what do you need to be good at in order to be awesome at basketball? So you look about, okay, how long do the games last? How many minutes are you going to play? What sort of speeds are you running at most of the time? How much jumping do you do? You look at, okay, how much strength do you need versus how much power do you need? And all these sort of variables get tied into it. So you try and create that program that's going to create the best possible outcome for that individual based on the needs of that particular activity. But as you can see already, that becomes super narrow, and you can see how that's going to vary from sport to pursuit to hobby or whatever. It's going to be vastly different according to what it is you want to be sort of pointing yourself at being good at.
Yeah, but the more you put into something like that, the more energy, the more focus, the more time you spend doing it, the more of your life you'll devote to it, the more you start to look like a key that fits that lock. You know, be it a rugby player will start to shape in a certain way, a long distance runner will fit that way. Someone that works in an office, maybe, you know, if there you end up again in that very narrow space, if you end up sat down for a lot of your time, you may start to shape a certain way. So
yeah, that's like a good example of that. The body adapts to whatever stimulus you give it. So if you ask your body to get you from point A to point B, and point B is 26.2 miles away, and you want to do it on foot, the more you practice that, the more your body will adapt to become good at that activity. So there's a reason why marathon runners tend to be light, because it's hard work to carry a heavier weight across that distance. And likewise for rugby, there's a reason why most rugby players end up in the similar sort of area, is because the demands of the sport mean you need some strength, you need some power, you need some armor and some cushioning when you're getting battered around. So therefore muscle mass goes up and body weight goes up. And so you can see how that starts to dictate why that everyone sort of looks like the sport they play. And you can kind of pick, on the whole, there's always outliers, don't get me wrong, but on the whole, you can pick pretty close what sport people play.
Yeah, and I think it's really interesting though, because when you're young, what's outside of that sport, perhaps, you know, especially if you're in professional sport where it's your job, what's outside of that sport? Yeah, it's pretty much just for us anyway, you know, relaxing and recovering. So apart from the fact that I became pretty average at getting in and out of cars, bending down and sort of spending, you know, in many ways, flexibility because of the hits and everything, moving my arms up and down was a bit of a trouble. But on the whole, because it's kind of sport and then it's rest and recovery, you kind of don't notice it too much. But I think it's now getting a bit older and getting more interested in, let's say, fulfillment and happiness as the primary goal, having that life devotion, that single narrow focus, if you can call it that. It starts maybe as that, but then you find out it's anything but narrow. But you know, on happiness, fulfillment, on potential, on growth, on evolving, on those kind of things, it starts to look a bit different, because anything narrow, whether it be physical, mental, or those kind of things, feels a little bit like it's taking you away from your goal rather than towards it. So I'm really interested to see what would it look like between us to get fit for your potential in every single way, to get fit for fulfillment, to get fit for life, proper life experience and life exploration, and to get fit to respond to every event and challenge that comes our way. So in a way, I guess, how do you get fit to face your challenge? We know what that's like when you know what your challenge is going to be on a rugby field, but in your challenges, when you're talking about the deeper internal ones that stand in your way of experiencing new space, of having greater connection in your relationships, in terms of reaching new dimensions of perception in life and everything like that, how do we get fit for that kind of endeavor? I'm really interested to explore that with you now. So on a physical level, if you were looking at someone to say, look, you're looking to get fit, not for a straightforward physical endeavor, but looking to really bring out the best in the body, where would you start with that, do you think?
Tend to start with quite a bit of assessment, which is always not the most exciting and maybe can be a little bit intimidating. But once you get to a certain point, let's take you for example. If we were to do a movement assessment for you, we would pinpoint some, like, relatively quickly we'd find like where you've got the biggest issues left over from as a hangover from rugby. Albeit you've still got the record on my Wii at my house for the 3-point shooting on basketball when you were unable to lift your arm up. So I'm still furious that I can't beat your score on that, even though you were desperately unable to lift the controller up. However, once you take that in and see where you get what you've got going on, there may be a case that you need to start almost going the other way and start trying to work on, okay, well, what have you got limiting you that we need to work on first? So have you got any issues with structurally of the body? Have you got limited range of shoulder movement? Have you got lower back issues? How are your hips? What are your knees like? Are you in pain? Because nothing's going to go well until you can get pain-free or at least start working on that. So that would be the start point, is can we reclaim anything that you've lost, fix anything that's broken, or get pain-free if you're struggling with anything? And then from that point, you try to be as general as possible. So in my view, if you're trying to be fit for anything, you can't be too specific, but you're going to need a little bit of everything, which is a great way to train because nothing's off the table.
I think even just that as a concept of pain-free, in terms of addressing your suffering, addressing your struggles, wherever they are, and when you mention range of movement, flexibility, regaining your expansive ability your, the sheer sort of magnitude of your being, being able to open up is so big, I think, in terms of that potential. So I think those kind of flexibility, the movement, being able, I think, to move with ease and sort of effortless grace is really big in that for me, because I think if I was to get fit for the life that I really wish to experience right now, it would have to involve that. I think of it sometimes as being, like a 4 or 5 year old version of me with a big smile on his face, kind of looking ahead and thinking, wow, and this is how great it is now, in 40 years' time. Just imagine what it could be like. And then looking, me looking back and going, well, this is what I've done with that 40 years. And it's kind of a question of like, what have I been practicing in that 40 years? What I had at age 4 and 5, what have I done with it? How have I moved it? And I think even on a physical level at 4 and 5, you're kind of, yes, okay, there's the aging process, but, and yes, there was getting bashed around on the rugby field, but I think it's quite easy to stop challenging the body and asking the right questions, which I've heard you talk about sometimes.
Yeah, I would agree, but I think you have to take into account that if you choose to pursue a physical endeavor or a sport or an activity at an elite level, the first thing that happens is that you're pretty much prepared to sacrifice health. And that's not a consideration because you're pushing for a goal. So when you start to try and get as strong as you can, or start to try and get as big as you can or as fast as you can, by definition, you're getting to the limits of what your body can do. So you are going to get hurt. Like you'll know from rugby that as soon as you start playing, when you and I were playing mini rugby, you'd get hurt, dead legs, black eyes. You weren't like doing ACLs or dislocating shoulders, but you pick up the knocks and you start to get this understanding that, if I keep pursuing this, it's only going to, the people I play against are only going to get bigger, faster, and stronger as I get bigger, faster, and stronger. And this is the same for endurance. If you're going to take on, and I've worked with guys that have taken on everything from sprint triathlon through to Ironman competitions, if you're going to spend that long running and cycling and swimming, there's going to be pushback from it. And you just have to go into that with your eyes open. Whereas the turning point becomes when if you start wanting to pursue, okay, I'm not going to go at anything specific, but I just want to feel good and be able to do whatever I feel like I want to do when the moment takes me. And then a big part of that is going to put health back at that sort of the forefront and put it back up the priority list of, okay, I want to be able to feel like I'm full of energy. I don't want to be thinking I can do everything I want, but I just can't bend down because that knee is not going to like it or anything like that. You've got to start pushing back towards that. And then everything, you start to have a much, much bigger selection of activities that you can do. Now, you may not be a world record holder at any of them, but you can do all of them in a way that you can enjoy without having to sort of check with a medical professional before you say yes to anything.
Also, the idea there about saying fitness has become synonymous with winning in some way, whether it's, fitness for that elite sport level and that you're looking to beat the opposition, or whether it's in an endeavor where you're looking to beat a personal best, or you're just looking to beat a time, or you're looking to beat, just anyone else at what you do, or you're looking to get a bit, different or better than where you are now, as opposed to some kind of fitness that doesn't involve comparison or competition, a fitness that involves kind of exploration, which is why I was sort of talking about that. Fit for potential being slightly different to fit for achieving individual goals.
I think there's a lot of sports have also grown out of many of the ideas and kind of the streams of fitness. So if you look at powerlifting and bodybuilding and CrossFit and HYROX and all these other things, they kind of stem from a modality of training or a part of the big broad spectrum of training. Now they're incredibly exciting to watch at the elite level, but they're a sport, if that makes sense, rather than if you start treating it as a sport, then the goal is to become better at it rather than performing the activities, rather than improving your health and feeling better and fixing and correcting movement imbalances and things like this. You start chasing numbers and times and weights. That's when you start to go, okay, well, what I'm doing here now is I've replaced one sport with another and I'm going down that same path. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does. I think it also leads me to feel a little bit like the shift in a career for me, which could have been something I could have, I think, delved into a lot more if I would had been in that space at that time, was there's a lot of force in the younger version of it. A lot of brute force of just get out there, smash it, yeah, bang, 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 bang. Next one, next set, next set, next session, next session, next game, get up. Resilience is just bounce back, bounce back, bounce back. Yeah, and the answer tends to be a lot of more. Give it more. Same stuff, maybe a little bit different, but mostly more intense, more of it, more fierce. And in that kind of determination, it's that that sets you apart from the opponent or sets you, you know, clear of the limit that you're trying to break or whatever it is. But after a while, I think in that evolutionary journey, there becomes this understanding it's not about more, probably because maybe physically you reach a limit. It becomes about actually doing not even just the same, it could be even less, but just studying to delve into that effortlessness about it, the ease and the grace and the elegance, the flow, the beauty of how you do things. There's something about that when you go into a gym, you know, you can see people smashing out massive weights and whoa, it's big. But then you can also see, you know, the beautiful form of stuff taking place. Or when you see people walking down the street, you know, just the way people can hold themselves, where you can move without really pounding the pavement, the way, you know, and there's a genius in that. And I think exploring the genius is sometimes to move into actually the more effortless. You know, like a Federer hitting a tennis ball is kind of like, how on earth does a ball travel that fast? You're not putting anything into it. There's, yes, there's timing in this, there's a lot of training in that. But I think at some point there's a shift towards sensitivity, the more subtle and the more kind of nuanced and involved and engaged, sensitive version of what used to be just force, black and white, what I'm seeing, what I'm getting, ticks and crosses. So I think that to me feels like part of getting beyond the physical is to drop back into that more and more sort of subtle area of sensitivity. But also that's where the mental and the emotional stuff comes to me, that you're then taking on different challenges that aren't a number of weights on a bar. You're taking on a challenge of, geez, you know, I'm locked in this cycle of feeling these patterns of behavior, of feeling this kind of inferiority or this kind of you know, imposter syndrome or this lack of deserving or worthiness. And that for me is kind of the big one. Before I talk about that though, one thing which I think this crosses over really quickly is in the fitness physical side, but also in the mental emotional side, is the space of diet and rest and recovery. How does that look for you in terms of, you know, elite level versus maybe on a level of very much working to all goals or to all endeavors rather than just that narrow one. Health and fitness, I guess.
Yeah, I think it goes hand in hand. I think if I take a step backwards just briefly, when you look at the activities that you could pick from to do, say, as part of a training program, to do some strength training where you ask the body to move, pick up, lift, push, pull heavy things in order to send that stimulus to the body that I need to be structurally rigid. I need bone density to handle, you know, bearing heavy weight. And I need to have some muscle mass on my frame in order to be able to do this, which is fantastic. Because as you go later and later into your years in life, carrying that lean muscle mass means you have your physical independence. You won't be reliant on anyone else to get around. You'll be able to live your life that you want to live for longer as a result of investing in some strength training. Likewise with that just resistance training in general, to get a bit stronger and put a bit of muscle onto your frame feels fantastic, but also allows you to do so many more activities. Having a good aerobic base, being able to perform activities for 30, 45 minutes, you know, walks, hiking, light cycling, things like that, just to have some work capacity, massively important and hugely underestimated in terms of how important it is. And then on top of that, having the ability to perform sort of circuits and throws and bounds and jumps and being athletic, being able to play games, enjoy training and having that movement, and almost like you were talking about, that return to being youthful is super important. So finding these activities that excite you and a way to do it, absolutely vital to be part of that program. Where that goes hand in hand with nutrition is you want to try and match the two so that you are able to have the right amount of fuel that you need for all your activities in order to, for your movement and all the things that you enjoy, as well as having it there to make sure that your body's able to look after itself, to repair, to heal, keep the immune system running, make sure brain health is good, all these things. So ultimately, you'd kind of want to find yourself at a point where you're eating the most food you can whilst your weight doesn't change, which a lot of the time gets called sort of maintenance calories. And it's at that point where you're pretty much making sure that the body's not wanting for anything. It's got enough energy in there, and hopefully it's not deficient in anything because of the foods that you're choosing, which is, again, an even more specific matter. But getting that fuel in and making sure the body's got everything it needs. And then on top of that, as you said, the recovery, making sure that you get quality sleep so that when your body shuts down, it's got food in the system so it can respond to the kind of demands and the stimulus you've given it during the day. And then it could fix and change. And that's where all the wonderful stuff happens, is when you're asleep and you've got enough food in the system.
Yeah, I think it's starting to me to sound like a lot of it still can look the same as when, yeah, you're younger, but it's almost becomes a case of how you do it. I'm just not sure. I mean, it wasn't even healthy for me as a younger individual to be piling stress on top of stress, because all that stuff does stress you in your body, and then piling the mental and emotional stress on top of it, whereas being able to perform these kind of things with a degree of, I guess, playfulness, even ease and just space and connection and self-love rather than what was quite self-abusive. You know, for me, in a lot of the way that I train my body until very recently, definitely abusive, but to have that sort of different relationship with the body for me feels really, really powerful, but also a different relationship with what we're doing. In other words, rather than it be a race to the end, which is certainly not something you want to do with your life, in terms of stressing out needlessly, but more a race or just an ease with finding the moment and finding the real sort of spot of deep involvement. Because for me, I think where you mention the ability of the body with all those different movements, jumping, sprinting, strength, power, you know, the athletic nature of it, you do have that agility, that spontaneity and that adaptability. But do we have that in the mind and in the emotional sense? Do we have that, you know, that playfulness, humor, the ability to kind of respond to any situation in a way that allows us to accept it and open up to it? Because I think for me, what am I practicing daily? What did it used to be? It used to just be rugby the whole time. And it used to be this, it used to be visualizing this, but what maybe might be more powerful for me in terms of that deeper level of potential would be, am I practicing awareness? And am I practicing, I guess, curiosity in my life? Am I practicing, yeah, removing stories? Or am I, as I was when I was younger, really, really building one for who I was, really building an identity of my potential to find out who I can be? Am I removing stories that I have for other people than I have for myself? But certainly with regard to the rest of recovery, the interest in things like breathing, the more subtle stuff there, meditation, patience, peace, are these things I'm practicing? And finally, am I still practicing creativity and following my own excitement and passion as much as I can during the day? And finding, as you sort of mentioned, with that spontaneity and adaptability, finding a way to do that, whatever the situation. It sort of feels like there's space for that, even if it does involve the physical I think maybe these things do change a bit in life. Maybe I'm more interested in playing games or shooting basketballs now than I was in sort of lifting the heaviest weights.
I think
But
that's once you up to sort of, let's say, the age of sort of 25, you're kind of fortunate in the same way that hangovers don't seem to affect you too badly. You can get away with a lot, and youth is a wonderful a wonderful time where you can learn a lot but without realizing it. But once you get beyond that, kind of the consequences of the choices you make on the physical front, both with the amount of sleep you get and what food and what and sort of what you put into the body, and likewise what you do with your body, the implications and consequences start to ramp up, because your ability to absorb all that stress and trauma and turn it around and come back fresh again starts to reduce as you get a bit older. And if you think about that, like we've spoken about a little bit with the two sides of the nervous system, the sympathetic and the parasympathetic. Sympathetic is the fight or flight, which whenever you want to take on a challenge, inevitably you're going to need some of that drive of the adrenaline and the stress hormones and the cortisone in dumped into the system. But you want to do it strategically, and you want to get out of it as quick as possible, get the parasympathetic fired up, so you can then start to become more rest and digest and start to recover from that activity and reap all the benefits of it. And what you're talking about there is fantastic, because doing these activities in the way that you're talking about, with the mindset and how you approach them and the enjoyment, means you minimize the damage or the stress level of it, but maximize the fun, enjoyment, and the healing side of it. Which, like you said, is going to slow down that journey towards the end of life, the inevitable end of life. But you can slow that down and have a fantastic journey and experiences on the way. You don't need to be rushing along that continuum.
Yeah, I think it does remind me of when I came face to face with, I can only go on what I've heard, but an enlightened yogi who took one look at me and said, "Look, I understand that you're very excited about potential, but your mental and physical energies are so out of whack that you're just going to be so busy dealing with those, you won't have that energy available to explore anything beyond that. Your body's crying out for this, your mind is crying out for repair here, and until those things are aligned, there's just going to be not enough energy left." And I think that was really, really interesting, because that was probably still while I was playing, and I had the opportunity then to take that on board to say, "Look, to play whole and to do these whatever endeavors and hobbies and follow your excitements and passion, but follow them in the most whole state you can, in the most aligned state, does mean really, really looking after yourself, because this is the bit that I think is the most important for me. My experience has been that it doesn't follow a linear path. It doesn't work as you think it will. That if I look after myself, I'll probably feel like this, and then I'll be able to do this." If you're willing to look after yourself and go deeply into these things, it doesn't work in a linear fashion. It works in an incredibly surprising, and as we say, sort of not logical but magical fashion. And it does come down to a huge amount for me in terms of just that open-minded, open-hearted, which responds to, which I think corresponds for me to that opening of the body, to growing in stature, rather than shrinking with age, in the work that to open back up, like you said, to put some solidity on your frame, but also to open back up and rediscover your range of movement and rediscover your effortless and your energy and your sort of ability to face whatever you face in life and still be able to choose how you take that next step is really, really big.
Absolutely. And I think the biggest takeaway points, if I could put them down from what I've learned from, which is, I'm scared to say, it's bordering on like 22 years of plus of working within like gyms and training and within sport, is it's never too late to start. It doesn't matter where you're starting from. But if you're looking for somewhere as a start point to start doing some sort of change in your physical activity in order to improve your health, look around. Don't just go to the nearest gym because it happens to be the nearest, but look around, find what you speak to the people that work there, look for someone that you might want to work with, ask them what they're about, see how you get on with them, what sort of energy, what sort of feel do you get from them, because there's such a variety out there that they're somewhere and some activity for everybody. And find something that excites you and just keep showing up, because it's not always going to be a highlight reel, but just by chipping away at it and being consistent and really finding the things that excite you, it's like you said, it's exponential what happens with you once you start getting the little wins of feeling a bit better. Getting someone pain-free is one of the most exciting things you can do. I had, without like dropping names and stuff, working with someone who had like really crippling back pain that's gone now, and then you get a photo of them walking around an event with their son on their shoulders for an hour and a half without thinking about it, and you're like, that's incredible. That's like winning a cup. To see when you have that sort of a bit, that sort of change in someone's quality of life and experience, that's incredible.
Yeah, I think it maybe the fit for life. Mentioned fit for the life you wish to live, fit to respond, fit for your potential, but also maybe just fit to follow your passions for as long as you can, because I think in following your passions is the guidance you need. And I do feel somehow that if your passion for your true self and your true capacity can be the most intense passion you have, even if it's only just slightly above the next one, then it also gives you that ability to explore everything underneath it in the most fullest sense. I think I would have said that I was really interested in my potential, but I'd have been lying in midway through my career, because I was only interested in pretty much winning stuff. And as a result, how much exploration did I get into myself? Zero, because it was all bound by the one above
A lot of surgeons got some really good insight into what was going on inside you.
Yeah, exactly. But I think, you know, that was the point, is if your potential, if you're true to that, if it is this desire to, you know, find out as much as you can about who you are and what you're here for and how things work within you, and to take that responsibility for what happens within you, then actually everything underneath that has got such a big chance of becoming all it can be, and quite magical too. But okay, mate, splendid. That's been half an hour. I told people this would be the biggest part of their week, and it may not have been. Just wondering now, looking back, this may not
Well,
be.
I did warn you about that bravado you were showing in
Oh
the first
God,
intro bit.
I'm pretty. Listen, it's definitely been the best part of my evening. I can say that for now.
I'd love to know what I'm competing with.
Heavens above. All right, nice, brilliant. Thank you very much, mate. Thank you for tuning in. If you've managed to last this long, if you have, let us know what you think. We'd love to hear from that. And we've got big guest episodes coming up, so please enjoy those too.
Yeah, the good episode is coming later this week.